This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and some legal questions we are going to talk about today. I just did something pretty stupid. I just lost my page. You know, I can't be trusted. I got this new phone, and I still don't know. I was just on before coming on the air. I was just on with one of the experts who was guiding me, and it turned out I don't feel so bad anymore. He knows as much as I do. Well, actually, that was a cruel thing to say. He was very good, but when it came to having answers for me, which is what I wanted, I really would have appreciated answers today. There were no real answers coming forth. But we have a date again somewhere around 2:15 this afternoon after the program, and we shall begin again to get to the root of my problem. I just have no luck at all with things technical. It seems to elude me. Everybody else could figure this out, but it takes me a while to get it. But once I get it, I'm okay. Well, as you know, I live in South Florida now, and over the weekend and up until yesterday, there was mayhem in Miami Beach as tens of thousands of college students and young people descended on Miami Beach because it was spring break. Okay, so that's cool. I could understand that. You want to let off a little steam. But things got so out of hand down here. People acted as if they didn't know how to behave. I mean, basic stuff, like you don't cause people to feel apprehensive about the fact that you are in town, you're in my neighborhood, and obviously can't behave. A basic thing like that. Try and behave yourself. And it reached a point where the local mayor had to call a state of emergency. Who ever heard of things like this? And why is this considered cute? To declare a state of emergency to get cops from neighboring areas to come in and help control an out-of-control crowd, this is just silly. Just totally silly. Makes no sense whatsoever. And you should have seen, you know, rather than people say, look, this is not the way I behave. This isn't me at all. I wasn't raised this way. I understand, you know, I'm with people who want to have fun and everything else, but I can't bring myself to behaving this way. Like I have no brain in my head. I can't think. I can't behave myself. I can't remember the lessons my parents taught me about basic, decent behavior. And I'm not saying this, you know, as I approach my elder years. No, I was a student too. And we did some bizarre things. Yes. But this was out of control, I'm telling you. And I won't be surprised if next year there will be all kinds of rules and regulations in place, literally controlling how people behave, because they apparently are not capable of regulating themselves and controlling themselves. And they really left a very sour taste in people's mouths down here. And it was very embarrassing. I felt embarrassed for them that, you know, as old as they were, early 20s, late teens, early 20s, that kind of thing, mid 20s. And you don't know that the kind of behavior you're exhibiting is just not welcome anywhere. I don't care where you go. It's just not, it's just not the way you comport yourself. And people now are fearful of any gathering or alleged gathering or would-be gathering of people of that age because they can't take this. This is, you're not supposed to require police supervision just so you can have a good time. People want you to have a good time. You're invited to have a good time. And, you know, a little thing here, a little wild thing there, okay, we get that. But what was going on was just completely out of whack. And I don't think that people would miss them and others coming after them for spring break. I don't think they would be missed at all. The whole phenomenon of spring break, you could take that someplace else. Go in your backyard and do the things that you did while you were down here. It's just outrageous. So a very, very black mark on this whole idea of spring break, because there, even when the cops thought that they were prepared, you know, for crowd control and so forth, the crowd got out of control. There was no way to control these people and their behavior. And they were very proud of it. They enjoyed putting an entire community, in fact, South Florida as a whole, ill at ease. And this is how tensions develop. And this is why people say, well, the cops are brutal. No, they're not brutal. They've had an experience with people of your ilk before. And their job is to see to the security of the community as a whole, to make sure that you have a good time, but not at the expense of other people's mental health. There were people I know who left home and didn't return yet. They haven't returned yet because they don't know what they're going to meet. This is outrageous. I felt embarrassed that all the training I'm sure they got at home, and all the training, all the logic in their brains just didn't take. So there you go. That's the new version of spring break. And I wouldn't cry one tear if it were discontinued. I could see how people would feel justified in just cutting this whole thing out. We don't want it. But of course, they allowed it because, well, things have been so bad for the store owners and the restaurant owners. And, you know, it's been very bad. So I guess there was an attempt to ameliorate that by allowing the spring break, even though they had strong suspicions that it was just not going to go right. And they proved to be right. This was not the way that people should behave. But there's this thing happening now where young American people, and not just young ones, they delight in being obnoxious. You know, they leave home and they go to Jamaica or they go to Barbados or they go anywhere and show the worst side of themselves. They're very bad ambassadors for the country. And people are glad to see them go. They're happy to see them come, thinking, well, they'll add to the economy, and we hope that the things that we provide while they're here, they're going to have an enjoyable time. Not these people. Americans have become hooligans and ruffians abroad, and they don't do much good for the country. They don't make their country look good at all. That's too sad. Investigations continue in the March 16th lone gunman killing of 8 people, 6 of them Asian women, allegedly by 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long in 3 Atlanta metro area spas. Long, said to be a deeply religious Christian, appeared to condemn spas and massage businesses as sinful places, even as he allegedly patronized them often enough as a self-described sex addict. So the question I'm posing to you is, will Long's early attempt at a defense against what I strongly suspect would be imminent murder and other serious charges help him at all? And should it? 888-874-4888. That's the first legal question. And while you ponder that, of course, we know the trial in Missouri. Not Missouri, Minnesota, sorry. Am I right? I'm getting myself all mixed up here again. I lost my notes. Former police officer who is implicated in the death, I should say in the violent death of George Floyd, is close to getting started. Yesterday, they selected their 13th juror. And we don't know. I haven't checked before coming on. I did not check to see what is the status of the formation of a jury. But that case should be coming to trial very soon. And as you know, there's a lot going on there that will be under close scrutiny. And we'll see where it goes. Okay. But the old question that I just posed is on the table at 888-874-4888. And we have Jeremiah starting us off today. Hello, Jeremiah.
How's it going today, Yatrice?
Okay, hanging in.
Very well, thank you. So in regard to this homicidal maniac who's being treated like a mental health item, as opposed to a criminal. That's an old Paul Mooney joke. He has the complexion for the protection. End of story. You know, black person commits a crime, and we say, okay, get your butt in the jail cell. White person commits a crime, we'll have to study it. He was sleepwalking when he committed the crime, perhaps, et cetera, et cetera. And then likewise, you have an exact inversion with the George Floyd case and so many other cases, but George Floyd being a case that was highlighted recently, where, and we have this repeated effect that we see heinous crimes being committed on video. We see murder, actually torturous murder, being committed on video. And somehow as a society, we all get tricked into debating whether or not we've seen what we've seen. I mean, video evidence, right? That's quite good evidence by the standards of law throughout history. I mean, through most of human history, we didn't have video evidence that would be brought into a court type of situation. But now we have video evidence of people committing murder on video. And instead of deliberating, well, how do we punish the person who did what we've seen? We debate whether or not we've seen what we've seen. And this, then, I will tie in.
You have to recognize, you should recognize that the law also makes a differentiation and a distinction between a, quote, ordinary person and someone who has mental difficulties.
Right. They're called insane, which is purely a legal term and not a psychological term. I mean, from a certain point of view, you could argue that anyone who would commit a murderous act against another person is insane by some measure. I don't think a healthy person would murder another person. I mean, you can make kill another person in self-defense. Yeah, exactly.
A healthy person would not murder another person. This is a question here. He has already come to the attention and has been in treatment, allegedly, and he has been counseled at his church on this issue. So there's a forerunner to the murders, and that is that people in a position to help, or people to whom he turned for help, knew of that. So that was established in a certain way that he had a problem.
Right.
The question is, how important or how great a factor will that be in a trial, assuming that he soon will go on trial?
I think it's going to be somewhat effective. And I'm not someone who has any expertise whatsoever in law. But I think it will be somewhat effective, but it certainly won't absolve him of what he's done. He will be removed from society by one measure or another. And you know what? As you mentioned it, Patrice, it occurred to me, maybe all violent offenders should be treated as mental health patients. Maybe that should be a given.
That's a broad sweep.
But I mean, it's a broad sweep. But maybe we should just shift the whole apparatus and view these as mental health issues when people behave in this manner, instead of making this arbitrary distinction between quote unquote criminal, quote unquote mental health case.
You can't justify that.
You don't think so?
For violent crime.
I mean, I'm not talking about stealing a loaf of bread.
No, I'm talking about violent crimes as well. According to what we understand as the law, a person is innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
So this trial will have to go through the paces of all similar trials, even when the alleged murderer himself claims that he has mental problems.
Right.
That has to be tested in the court of law.
Right. Well,
otherwise, everybody who does something heinous, first thing they would say is, well, you know, I'm psychotic or I'm a schizophrenic.
Right. Which, of course, and I'm not saying there aren't real mental health disorders in the world. There most certainly are. But, you know, again, a lot of these diagnoses come about with no brain scan, no blood test, just the arbitrary evaluation of a psychologist.
In this case, though, I think more will be expected and more will be demanded. If this person had not yet been thoroughly diagnosed, it will happen now.
Right. And we'll hope that the people who are testing...
Make a sweeping judgment.
Right. But we'll just have to hope that the people who are, you know, administering the test are legitimate people and that the tests are legitimate as well.
Well, if it's passed a muster of a court, it has to be legitimate. Thanks for getting us started today, Jeremiah.
Thank you, Trees. Have a great day.
Thank you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello, you Trees. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How's by you?
You know, me and my phone still here. Still hanging. We live in interesting times. And my phones have become quite luxurious. Returning to the incident in Florida, I mean, whether this person is mentally ill or not doesn't really play into my, it doesn't play into my factoring of the case. As far as mental illness, I go with the court's decision at the time of the crime. Did you know right from wrong? And did you make a conscious decision to perform the acts that you did? And if you did, then that means you're not crazy. And he knew right from wrong. He made a conscious decision, whatever his reasoning behind it, whatever his motivation, that's irrelevant. At the time, he was sane enough to make a conscious decision to know that what he was doing was wrong and to know that and he should be punished according to that. I mean, I heard what the other caller was saying about studying this and studying and the mental observation of that. The bottom line is, you know, you whatever issues that you were having with yourself at the time, you made a decision to take people's lives. And, you know, I'm of the Hammurabi code when it comes to crimes like this. An eye for an eye.
Well, at the least, if you're going to depend on a person who allegedly is mentally ill, very seriously mentally ill, to self-diagnose and then use that self-diagnosis as the basis for how he is to be treated in a court of law. I mean, who's the crazy one here?
Well, you can't let a crazy person know that he's crazy. I mean, like I said, there's one determination legally.
You just ask him, were you aware that such and such was the case at the time you decided to go on a killing spree? And he says, yes. And he said, good for me. That's good diagnosis for me.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that as far as being insane, from a legal aspect, what did you know at the time you committed the crime? Did you know right from wrong? Did you know what you were doing was wrong? I mean, and if you're claiming some type of insanity defense, it means you were out of your mind or out of your or lack the ability to make a conscious decision, lack the ability to use rational thought, and had a depression. You know, that's beyond the scope of that. That's when you get into psychiatrists and mental observation and the psychiatrist assessment. But if you knew at the crime, if you knew at the time you committed the crime what you were doing was wrong, and you knew the consequences for your wrong action, then of course you're not insane. You're just somebody who decided to do something that appears to be insane, but you're not insane. You're a sane person.
That's not your standard. Now, let's say, because he's supposedly a very devout Christian, let's say he rationalized it in his head that he was doing God's work.
A lot of things are done in the name of God.
Does it make it unreal or real? What if he claims that he had reached a point where he had suffered enough by patronizing these places and degraded himself and sinned beyond any reasonable doubt? And so his actions were, in a way, tied to an effort to save other people's souls.
Well, you know, save yourself first. If you're truly...
Yeah, but you can't tell him that. That's his belief. If his belief is... That's what I'm asking. If his belief is, as part of his defense, he was crazy, first of all. He lost a perspective on reality. He lost reality, period. And then he rationalized to himself that he was an agent of God. And as an agent of God, the death angel, he felt compelled to remove those people who were encouraging other people to go down the same path that he went.
Well, I put it to you this way. Until God comes down and tells me that he incorporated this individual to manifest his destiny, then that's between you and your mental state. You made a conscious decision.
You're disregarding people's deep feelings about this. Apparently, he had very deep feelings about this business of such establishments contributing to people's sinfulness.
Listen, I'm an agnostic, so you can take that for what it's worth. But I don't, if a higher power is there and it does exist, I question his choices as far as his representatives on this earth for many circumstances pertaining to many different religions. If you want to claim God, then show me God. Give me the tape. Show me the videotape. Show me the receipt. Show me where he or it told you to do this. And prove it to me. Until then, we live in a world of men. That's it.
And women, too.
For society. Well, excuse me. We live in a world of human beings. And if you can't conduct yourself in the world of human beings like a human being, then you don't need to be in this society anymore.
You see how complicated what you would consider a straightforward thing could be. It could be that complicated and that insane itself. Why would he choose to kill all these people? Why would he do that? What is the reason for it? We still have no reason other than he claimed that these massage parlors are dens of iniquity, this dens of sin. And he was acting again as the death angel to clean them out.
Many people claim the agency of the divine when they indulge in their own personal vendettas or personal lust. We have the manifest destiny, the Christian Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the right of prima nocte. All of these things in the name of the Church, in the name of God. It all depends on who believes them and how many people choose to believe them at a specific time. It was once considered okay to feed people to lions, if they call themselves Christian. It was once considered okay to go on a crusade and put children on the crusades because the word of God told Joan of Arc to do this and that. I mean, like I said, I live in a world of humans. And if you can't duplicate that, I'm like a scientist. If you can't duplicate it in front of me, then I don't believe it.
Yeah, but it's not about what you believe. It's about what he believed and still does believe.
He acted with knowledge that what he was doing was wrong. And whatever justification.
How do you know? Uh-huh. How do you know he was not in full-fledged psychosis at the time that he allegedly committed these killings?
Well, based on the information that was presented to me in the media, no limited that may be, I believe he knew what he was doing was wrong. I mean, I may be wrong. You may need to have a psychological evaluation to determine if he is quote unquote insane. But I've heard a lot of people in my personal experience use God to justify a lot of things that I don't think God even knows what's going on with, to be totally honest with you.
What if a panel of experts, and I believe that is going to be the next step, he is going to be examined very closely. What if they came to the unanimous conclusion that at the time he allegedly committed these murders, he was literally out of his mind? Did he commit murder?
Well, I mean, if it's established by professionals on a level of professional knowledge that he was absolutely insane during the course of these crimes, he needs to be removed from general society because of the potential of his lack of self-control. But, I mean, if you want to study that, if you want to find out reasons behind it, I mean, if you want to find out ways to stop it or ways to pre-predict it in society, then I can see him as like a lab rat or a case study, something that we can look at his mind and see if there are any genetic precursors or any physical manifestations in his brain that would indicate this is something that we can watch for in the future. Yeah, if you donate his brain to science, but take him out of the human equation, he doesn't deserve to walk the earth anymore.
So in your view, not everybody is entitled to the same justice.
No.
Ooh, okay. I was just asking. I just wanted to confirm.
I understand. I have no problem. No, everybody is not entitled to the same justice based on their actions. Like the punishment fit the crime. Based on your actions, based on your intent, based on your frame of mind at the time you committed the act. I mean, you know, every act is not equal, and every punishment shouldn't be equal. Justice is hard.
Okay, well, you laid your case out. I asked you a couple of questions, and I think it's getting really interesting, because now a whole new bunch of questions enter the picture. It is not a cut and dried thing that this is a guy who out of nowhere decided he was going to go on a killing spree, killed all these people, and then blamed it on the fact that they were working at an establishment, a business, or at businesses that God would strongly disapprove of. And therefore, there should be no uproar over his action.
Well, I believe I believe God wouldn't need his assistance if God was that inflamed about these businesses. God would not need his assistance at all. God could handle it all by himself.
Need his assistance, but ordinary people might. You see, this is the thing about the law. What do we extract from this incident, from this crime, that has broader application in society? We will recognize that everybody is not the same. We would recognize that people feel impelled to do things that they think, you know, they can't control. The contradictions, we've already seen a couple of them, that he went to the businesses that he used to patronize.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major contradiction. The church he used to go to has excommunicated him. What does that say about the church and compassion and forgiveness of sins? It's a very complicated thing, especially when you're talking about dimensions of the mind and how they factor into crimes. But I have some other questions I want to ask. What is missing from all of the reports that you might have read or seen or heard? What is absolutely missing? I bet you a nickel, whoever gets it, you'll get a nickel.
Well, I'll let someone else handle that right now.
All right.
I'll give somebody
Darryl
else a shot.
Darryl from the Bronx. You're up for a nickel.
Hello, Eutrice Lead.
Hello, Darryl. What is missing in this story so far?
Oh, Eutrice, I wasn't ready to talk about what's missing. What's missing is humanity all the way around.
Let me bring it down more specifically.
Thank you.
What from media coverage is missing here? If you were a reporter or an editor, assignment editor, what would you insist on presenting to the public as a necessary part of your coverage of this terrible disaster?
Did the perpetrator know the victims personally?
No.
Okay. Did he know the establishment? Did he frequent the establishment?
Okay, but that's not.
Give me a context.
Enough.
Give me something that's to work
just a
with.
Question. That is just a question. What question or what information would put this thing into extraordinary perspective?
The whole historical exploitation of women in general, but Asian women in particular, in being portrayed, especially in my experience from the quote-unquote Vietnam War years, in specific, as sexual objects.
Well, I have some news for you. When I see you, I'll give you a nickel.
Hey, I got something right today. This is good.
Good news for you. And this is so important. Nobody is discussing the history of this group of women, women in general, but this particular group of women going all the way back to World War I, being targeted as sex slaves.
Absolutely.
In order to
comfort women
for their country.
Comfort
and it
women.
Continues to this day.
That's a fact.
You see, you know it, but it's not being discussed. What about, he's a, in other words, he is in the continuum of this history.
First of all, the focus should be off of him and onto all, onto women in general, because I don't understand how you all do it. Because it's far beyond anything I can even imagine, especially if you look at the latest sex crime statistics, how many women, what is it, one in every four have been raped or molested? What?
Yeah, but it gets to a different thing. If you look at it straight ahead,
yes,
you see that the question can't but be asked. It has to be asked and answered, because these women that were killed were in a long line of sexual exploitation, a long line, generations, and they were used to start wars, they were used to end wars. They were used as political pawns. They were used as economic pawns. And still are being used that way. And how can so-called legitimate governments like we have today, you know, the city is a legitimate government.
I disagree.
The county.
I disagree. There are no legitimate governments.
But you digress. That's a whole different.
No, I'm talking about how much do you pay in security in this country, in the trillions of dollars?
No, you're taking us off. You're taking us off.
No, I'm right with what you're saying.
I can't
how
allow
those
it.
Women, how, if they're not born here, how do they get here?
The same way everybody else got people? Here. They came here. Everybody else got here the same way. They found a way to get here.
So then what are we paying for all the security for?
Take us off our...
I am not. I'm staying right with it. You are taking us off in the context that you're failing to understand that monopoly capitalism and European thinking is taking us right to hell.
Are you really thinking that? That
yes.
I fail to understand that?
No. I'm not saying you fail to understand it in that context. What I'm saying is that give it the best case scenario that the people who I've heard talking are talking about with regard to this specific case. What do you want? You want to call it a hate crime? Fine. Call it a hate crime. You want to give it 100,000 years?
That's not the question I'm asking.
Okay.
The question I'm asking, I asked specifically, is missing? Just starkly missing from any discussion so far that you have seen or heard or read about these killings. And I said, context.
The women are rather than being in the center and showing the exploitation and just the inhumanity shown to women, especially women of Asian descent in this particular instance, it's not an issue. What an issue is other things. Because if you have to, if you focus on the women, then you have to ask certain questions about
who was supporting them before this.
Okay, you're taking us in a whole different direction. And it was a simple, straightforward question. We don't want to pretend to be a journalist covering this.
No one is focusing on the plight of the women.
No, we don't want to take on the plight of the women because there have been certain changes that have occurred that compel us to ask different questions. Why are you in the same business? Why are you in the same business? Why is your community tolerating this? Why is this an acceptable way to make a living after these many centuries?
Monopoly capitalism.
Oh, that's, you know, I'm not looking for, you know, one
if
phrase answers. These are very deep questions. Why isn't their own community worried about that and disturbed about that? And pretending they don't know that this is happening in their communities and that they have no solutions for it. So
I think there are perfect solutions for it. No one wants to institute them because of how powerful the entrenchment of the past is on the present.
Well, that's it's an easy answer, but it's not the real answer.
Okay,
it's
what's the real answer?
It's a very complicated answer. It's a very complicated answer. It has to do with so many different parts of it, all working synergistically and supporting a way of life that any average person would find objectionable. No country on a trajectory of growth and prosperity would find that this is the way you want your people to earn a living. Doesn't work. But thanks, you got us started today on that particular trajectory. Thank you very much. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, when you asked this question, what came to my mind is very clear. All I've heard is this was a star. And nowhere that I have read or heard what the menu at that spa was. There are all kinds of spas that offer all kinds of services. What kind of services were offered at this spa? I have heard nothing about that. And my early life when I was overseas, I have been to spas that offered soaking in bathtubs and things like that, and that was the full extent of it. It had nothing to do with any kind of sexual business or anything like that. And there's spas that offer all kinds of things. So this has not been mentioned. And if you go to a place like Nevada, where they have the legal sex workers, that's another thing. I've never done anything in Nevada like that. But the point is, I think in Georgia, I don't think they have legal sex workers there. What these people doing menu? So that's the way I would look at this. I'd try to find out what the services were. And was some illegal thing going on in those spas that he lit fire to with his firearm?
And frequently, at least according to reports, patronized himself.
Yes. Was anything illegal going on there? If illegal sex work is not available in Georgia, then that's illegal. I didn't hear anything about what was on their menu at that particular spa, and was there any illegal sex work going on with those women who worked in the spa?
Well, I will tell you, I went to a spa. I had never been before, but my feet were looking really shameful. And I decided I'll get them tidied up. And not far from where I was living, in fact, just a couple of blocks away, there was a spa. A nail spa, they said. So I said, okay. But they also listed other treatments, beauty treatments, which, of course, I wasn't interested in. I just wanted my feet cleaned up and made to look decent, like real human feet. Okay. But while I was there, during the preliminary part, which is you soak your feet and, you know, they come and lather it up and put all kinds of stuff to remove thick skin and so forth. People coming and going, men in particular, and they went to the back of the establishment where there were individual rooms. It doesn't take a scientist to figure out that something was just not right there. And so I cut my beauty treatment short. I said, oh, so this is what this is. And I got out of there. So I am curious as to how these businesses, I'm not suggesting that they all were involved in some kind of underhanded or illegal activity, but it seems to me that it is just odd that you would have all these businesses clustered together. And people got along just fine. And there was no, it seemed as if there was no outcry from the community or special attention given by the police or anybody looking at these businesses more closely to find out if they were just spas. And in certainly in places in Brooklyn, when I lived in Brooklyn, you go to a spa, you better be prepared. Anything could happen in a spa, selling drugs, prostitution, anything could happen in certain spas. So you have to know where you're going. Thank you, Brother David, for calling in. Mitch from New York, you close us out today.
Well,
hello.
Listen, forget. Hello. Yeah. Hi. How you doing? You know, like, just because a person decides to make a living doing whatever they call it, prostitution, doesn't make them or the community bad. I mean, in some countries, prostitution or selling, doing whatever, is accepted. And it isn't looked down upon.
It is licensed. It is regulated. You can't be a prostitute in certain, like Holland and other places. You have to have your medical thing together. You have to have a license. You have to be inspected. It's an industry.
Right.
They don't have
some communities don't look down upon it, like the Judeo-Christian education that we get here in this country. You know what I'm saying? I would like to bring up about this young man who claimed that he was sex addicted. You remember what happened down in Texas with this guy, this young man, this young fellow? He ran off the sidewalk, and I think two people were killed, and I think he was intoxicated. And they said, like, he was so influenced. He was so, his parents were so protective to him that, he didn't know right from wrong. And they even brought up a certain name, you know, that they, affluenza or something like that.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, and he was he was able to use it as a plea. And I think he didn't go to jail. He just got some type of treatment. So.
Well, that's because his lawyer's arguments won the day. His lawyer came up with an argument about affluenza. And a kid so spoiled that he was actually not living in the real world.
Yeah,
he had his own different kind of life.
Yeah, well, it could be the same thing here. You know, already they're saying he was he's just a kid, and he didn't, you know, he was influenced by, you know, he was over-addicted with sex, so it might be the same thing. He might end up going in some type of treatment facility. I remember this justice, and there's two kinds of justice. There's justice for those that can't afford lawyers, and justice for those that get lawyers and able to persuade different people that this is a fact. That, for instance, black people have never really been able to get justice in this America, but European people. There's a different kind of justice. It's their justice that they give to their people. So it might be the same thing here, you know.
What does your instinct tell you about where this case is likely to go next?
Well, like I said, it's European people that they take care of their own. And just by them repeating this thing, well, he was addicted to sex, and it was all this. It's difficult to say, you know.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Assessment.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mitch, for calling in and contributing. And you close us out today. That was the last call today. But certainly, we will talk some more tomorrow. If you have other things to say, there will be space to say it. Thanks so much for contributing today, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.